where there is worship, prayer, meetings and hearings and votes on resolutions about the future directions of our church. And there are also special public witness events, which are timely for major issues the church and the world are facing now. So this year, the special events were one on racial reconciliation, on environmental action, on evangelism, on gun control, and on immigration. But the first event that was held that was special was known as the Me Too Bishop's Listening Service. It was a powerful service. Everyone was in tears and prayerful throughout, as anonymous testimonies of abuse of power and sexual misconduct within the church and cover-ups were described, with prayers of confession and for forgiveness and healing. And the bishops asked that we make a commitment to follow up on this timely and unfortunately ongoing problem in our world. What a time for us to have today's Old Testament reading. David, the man after God's own heart, King David, the great king of the Jewish people, David, the ancestor of Jesus. David, who raped Bathsheba, who tried to cover up her pregnancy from that rape, and then had her husband killed ruthlessly. When I posted on Facebook that I was going to preach on this, but I was concerned about children being in the congregation, I received more passionate messages than I have received on almost anything I've posted in years. There was, you can use euphemisms. The word euphemism is a euphemism for lying. There was, it's summer. It's too nice a time for such a topic. When is it ever a nice time? Topic of rape and murder and cover. And there was the fact that General Convention said we need to go home and face the subject. There was also online, are you sure it was rape? She was bathing in full view, so she attracted David. That's why he did it. To go along with that idea, when I went to find a picture of David and Bathsheba online to put on our emails and on our bulletin cover, all I could find was images of Bathsheba looking half naked and very sexy and seductive. Pictures worth thousands. So yes, it seems over the years Bathsheba has been made out to somehow be the one who is at fault here. But actually, there's nothing in the story that says she was. David was wrong and did several truly terrible and evil things, and this event marked a turning point in his kingship. From this event onward, things went wrong in David's kingdom until eventually it was torn in two and has never since been what it was during the time of his reign before this event. So I'd like to walk through the story as perhaps you never have before. In the spring of the year, when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all his And so it's written with this sentence, which to the hearer is a little bit like once upon a time. It's a well-known story, and you know, once upon a time stories have at the end lessons to be learned. So in the spring, when kings go out to battle, but King David remained at Jerusalem. David should be off leading his people, but instead he's hanging out lazily, wandering on his rooftop, high above the city, and basically spying on what the ordinary people below are doing. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the king's palace. He saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Remember, she was bathing in privacy on her own rooftop. There is no reason she should have thought someone could see her. That's how the houses were built. Only the king could see her because he was in the palace, which was way high up. But he should have been off at war. She probably would not have thought that he was in the palace to see her. Well, he saw her. So then it says, David sent someone to inquire about the woman, and it was reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." David has no idea who she is, but he finds out she's the daughter of one of his great generals and the wife of a soldier who is not technically Jewish. The Hittites are people whose land the Israelites were living. So, David sent messengers to get her. Like she's an object. He sees something beautiful, he wants it, he sends his messengers to get her. She came to him and he lay with her. Okay, soldiers of the king come to her and get her and take her to the king. The king, who has the power of life and death over all people in the country, she is taken to this king, and he has sex with her. Next, it says, now she was purifying herself after her period. They tell us this so we know when she gets pregnant, she was not pregnant before David had sex with her. Also, this tells us more clearly why she was bathing on the roof in the first place. It was, and still is, a required religious ritual for women at the end of menstruation. It was not, oh, let's hang out and be sexy on the rooftop. It was a ritual bath to cleanse herself from impurity. Well, after David lay with her, then she returns to her house. He's had this thing, he sends her home. The woman conceived, and But Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his own house. And when they told David, or Uriah did not go down to his own house, David said to Uriah, "You've just come from a journey. Why did you not go down to your own house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah remain in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do such a thing." Uriah, the person who isn't even a Jew, therefore a foreigner, someone thought to be of lower morals by the Jews, he cares more about David's soldiers than David himself does. So on the next day, David invited him again to eat and drink in his presence and made him drunk. And in the evening, Uriah went to lie on his couch with the servants of his lord. Again, he did not go down to his own house. David tries to get him drunk to make him go to sleep with his wife. He's so sleazy. He has Uriah. But Uriah is still an honorable person. I won't do it. So then in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And the letter he wrote set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die. Basically, David was telling Joab to kill him. Get him murdered. David sends Uriah back to the battlefield, and he is so sleazy, he has Uriah himself carry back his own death warrant. Now, I don't plan to preach on the rest of this story, which we will be hearing in the next few weeks, because I don't want to send the children out every week, and I know y'all want Samara and George back next week. And y'all want to hear about the feeding of the 5,000. Good luck. There's 4 more weeks of it. And the continuation of today's reading from Ephesians. So I'm going to things go wrong in his kingdom. One of his sons, by another wife, rapes one of his daughters by yet another wife. Probably because of guilt over his own act of rape, David does not confront or punish the rapist. So instead, another one of David's sons, Absalom, murders his brother. Then this leads to Absalom going to war against all the rest of the family, including Absalom, the son of David, going to war against his father. You can read it all in 2 Samuel. It's better than any wild plot you will see in the cinema. As for Bathsheba, David does marry her. And they have four sons who do live. And the oldest of these is Solomon. Solomon, who eventually becomes the next king after David. The one who is wise. The one who is given credit for having written one of the most beautiful, true love songs. Song of Solomon. No doubt, Solomon is a wonderful person because he had a great mother. As most, great people are, right? Bathsheba and David are then listed in the gospel genealogies as the ancestors of Jesus. Wealth and God's love and blessing. David had it all. And still he did evil and terrible things. But also, still, God's steadfast love remained for him. So, what's the message for us? Is there any good news here? First, we need to rehabilitate Bathsheba and all victims of sexual or power misconduct. Not pretend it did not happen. Not blame the victims. Be truthful and try to help bring about healing. It was reported last week that there have already been 20 feminicides in Belgium and 12,000 sexual crimes in Belgium this year alone. There is a tremendous amount of pain and a need for healing all around. Healing is such a huge part of what Jesus and his church, we are to be about. Second, we need to be truthful about inequalities of power and sexual abuse. Even if Bathsheba was naked and trying to attract David, that did not give him excuse to rape her. Each person is given the power to choose their own actions. Too long, women and children and men have been blamed when they are the victims. They did not make or force someone to do something wrong because of their appearance. The Act Me Too movement is about really living into God's gift of free choice to do what is right and take responsibility for what we choose and to recognize that the innocent are innocent. And third, if God could